To all of you, and also to those who are joining us from home via live stream, please join me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this gathering of your people, wherever we are, to worship you. And Lord, we just want to recognize your presence here with us. Help us to submit our hearts to you as we receive your word this morning, and as we respond to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you know, in our church calendar, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and most of you would know that Lent is a 40 days period before Easter, where Christians, where we take time to examine and to strengthen our relationship with God in light of our salvation through Jesus' death and resurrection. And one of the things that will often be emphasized during Lent is repentance. Now, this word, repent, has probably been misunderstood by both Christians and non-Christians over the years. It is a word that may often be perceived with much negativity and sometimes even with a sense of condemnation. I remember when I was in primary school, I had a classmate who would often spend his recess time giving out gospel tract and saying to primary school kids, "Repent and believe in Jesus Christ." Now, this classmate of mine was given all kinds of names because of what he had done. And eventually, he became an outcast in school. Now, that happened about 30 years ago. And I believe today we can still find such negative responses to whoever talks about repentance. In fact, this message of repentance is becoming increasingly unpopular in many churches today because it seems to focus a lot on our works and thus opposes the gospel of grace. Or because it seems to focus on our sins, on our guilt, rather than on God's love and grace and His salvation. But you know, our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 1 shows us that this message of repentance is the message that Jesus has preached right at the start of His ministry in Galilee. In fact, this message of repentance, it was part of the gospel, part of the good news of God, which Jesus has started to proclaim in Galilee. And this isn't the only time that repentance was preached. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles in Mark chapter 6, what did they preach? Repentance. And what about after Jesus' death and resurrection? Well, you know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, Jesus has also instructed the disciples what must be proclaimed to all nations after his death and resurrection: repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that is why in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter concluded that very powerful sermon with these words in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." So contrary to the negative perception that many people today have, may seem to have, the Word of God shows us that repentance actually has great significance, both in the good news of God and also in the lives of the believers today. And what is this significance? Why did Jesus emphasize on the need for repentance? Well, before we answer that question, let us first look at what repentance is. Is repentance about saying sorry or feeling sorry for all our wrongdoings in life? Well, I believe the answer is yes. But that is not all that repentance is. Is repentance about turning over a new leaf where you stop doing the wrong things and you start doing the right things. Yes. But that is not all. Is repentance about a change of direction where you stop walking in the path of sin and you start walking towards God, in the direction towards God? Yes. But again, that is not all. You see, all these things that I have just mentioned, they are very appropriate expressions of repentance, but it is not what repentance is all about at the end of the day. In fact, these expressions might only be temporal if we miss what is at the core of true repentance. And that has to do with a change of our most inner being, a change of our hearts. Now, I've heard this once in a sermon, and the preacher said this, repentance is not merely human effort or a self-help exercise, but it is God's surgical procedure. It is God's surgical procedure performed on our hearts. You know, repentance does not start with what we can or will do, but I believe repentance starts with what God must do to our hearts. Repentance starts with us letting God have full control over every part of our hearts, over every thought, every disposition, every desire. And this is what the word repentance means in the original language which Jesus had used back then. It means a change of the mind with its thoughts, perceptions, dispositions, and purposes. It means a change of our innermost being, a change of our hearts. And you know, the heart is often associated with repentance in the Bible. During the Ash Wednesday service a few days ago, Bishop Titus led the congregation to read Psalm 51, which is a prayer of penitence by David. And right in the middle of this psalm, create in me a clean heart. And also in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, which is also a familiar passage concerning repentance, it says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts." Rend your hearts and not your garments. So, my friends, repentance has to do with what happens first to your heart. Now, coming back to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and to the question, why did Jesus emphasize on the need for repentance? Why did Jesus command a change of our hearts? Well, the answer is given in the same verse, because the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, during Jesus' time, the kingdom of God was perceived by many as a physical realm where Jesus, the king appointed by God, will come, you know, riding on the horse, and he will lead his mighty army to overthrow the Roman Empire and to make the nation of Israel here on earth great once again. That was what many people at those times, in those days, perceived what the kingdom of God would be, just a physical realm, a physical kingdom. But this is clearly not what God had in mind concerning his kingdom that Jesus would establish at his first coming. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have come from Nazareth, a lowly and despised town in Galilee. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't need to be baptized by this weird and quite out of fashion person named John the Baptist, who would later on be arrested and be beheaded. Otherwise, Jesus would have been driven to the Ritz-Carlton in Jerusalem rather than to the wilderness
and be tempted by Satan. Jesus did not come to establish a physical realm in this world at his first coming, but he came to establish his rule in the heart of every person. This is what the kingdom of God is, the lordship of Jesus in our hearts and over every aspect of our lives. Therefore, whoever wants to be part of this kingdom of God, whoever wants to follow Jesus as the Lord, the Savior, Jesus says, repent. Let there be a change of your heart. Let your heart be turned to Jesus, the King. Let Jesus be the number one, the only one in your heart to rule over every aspect of your life. And such repentance is supposed to be an important aspect of the gospel, of the greatest good news that anyone on earth could ever receive. But how so? How is a change of heart where Jesus has control over every aspect of our lives be good news? How is letting someone rule over your life a good thing? You know, I believe most, if not all of us, we don't like the idea of having someone to rule over our lives. When we were kids, we don't like our parents to rule over our lives. We don't like any adults to rule over our lives. As we grow older, we continue to dislike it. We don't like people in the office to rule over our lives. Sometimes we don't like people in the church to rule over our lives. And even in marriage, you know, some would not want his or her spouse to rule over them or to have much say in their lives. So likewise, how can letting Jesus rule over our lives be something good? Well, it can and it will when you truly know who this ruler is. Now, the familiar story of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15 helps to illustrate this point. Here we have a son who demanded his share of his father's inheritance, and he squandered it off in no time. And in verse 15, he ended up being hired by a farmer who owns pigs. Now, being hired also means that he was now under the rule of this farmer. And it was extremely unpleasant for this son. And then this son came to his senses, and in verse 19, he thought it would be so much better to return to his father and to be one of his hired servants. The son knew that it would be so much better for him to come even just under the rule of his father, just like the rest of the hired servants. And the son knew that it would be so much better for that to happen because he knew who his father was and what his father was like. He knew of his father's kindness, generosity, love, even to those who were under his rule, even to the hired servants. And the son was right. In fact, the father gave so much more than what the son has hoped for. And I want to read to you Luke chapter 15, verse 20 onwards. And the son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat, let us celebrate." When this son repented by submitting himself under the rule of his father, he experienced such forgiveness, such acceptance, restoration, love, provision, which was beyond his imagination. And this truly must have been the greatest good news for the son. Even as he submitted himself under his father's rule, this truly must have been the greatest news because of who the father was. And likewise for us, my friends, to repent before the Lord, to give our whole heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it will be the best thing that we could ever do in life because of whom we are surrendering our entire life to. And my friends, we are surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of King Jesus, not only as people of God, but as beloved sons and daughters of God. Going back to the passage from Joel chapter 2 in verse 13, it says, "And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, because God is gracious and merciful, because God is slow to anger, because God abounds in steadfast love." My friends, when Jesus says, "Repent and believe," this is not meant only for pre-believers or for those who have strayed away from God or for anyone who has committed a sin. But this message, this good news of repentance is meant for all believers who says that Jesus is my Lord. It is meant for all of us here today. In the famous 95 Theses written by Martin Luther, you know, the very first thesis says this: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Sinclair Ferguson, a theologian, also says this: we are believing penitents and penitent believers all the way to glory. In believing, we repent, and in repenting, believe. So, my friends, if today we say that we believe in Jesus as our Lord, as our King, as our Savior, then today is the day for repentance. Today is the day to turn your hearts not just away from sin, but more importantly, to give your whole heart to the Lord once again. You know, so often we may call Jesus Lord, Lord. We may sing about Jesus' kingship. But is Jesus truly the Lord, the King over every aspect of our lives each day? Is Jesus the Lord who directs our daily decision and our every thought, our every desire? Is Jesus the Lord who directs the way we relate to our loved ones, the way we relate to our children, the way we relate to the people around us? Is Jesus the Lord who directs our pursuits, all our pursuits in life, our career, our plans for the future? Is Jesus the Lord who directs how we live each day, what we do and what we will not do in public and in private? Is Jesus also the Lord who has been given the key to all the hidden closets in our hearts, where we have kept all our hurts, all our secrets? There will be some areas in our hearts where it is just so difficult to let Jesus be the Lord. Sometimes it is so hard to believe that it is better to let Jesus be in control of our lives than for us to be in control over our own lives. Sometimes it is hard to repent and to give it all to the Lord. And perhaps what might hinder us from giving our whole heart to the Lord is because we might not have gone deeper in our relationship with the Lord, deeper in our understanding of who He is and what He is like. And I believe this season of Lent will be a good opportunity to start going deeper with the Lord and in His Word, and discover for yourself what a great privilege and joy it is for Jesus to be our Lord and our King. What a great privilege and joy for us to be under the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Reverend Lewis has mentioned in the video last Sunday, the church has prepared prayer guide and Bible reading plan for this purpose of helping us to go deeper with the Lord so that we might submit ourselves to His Lordship each day. And finally, you know, Lent is also a time where many Christians would consider fasting or giving up certain things in life. During the Ash Wednesday service, Reverend Joshua shared in his sermon about a friend who is giving up roti prata during this Lent season. And in my interaction with some youths recently, they have also talked about giving up the use of social media. They have deleted their TikTok account and all the other social media accounts, I don't know. I'm sure there are many other things that can be given up during this period of Lent. But while we may think of all the external things that we can fast from or give up during this season, let us not forget about the internal, that we need to give up even more to the Lord, not just during these 40 days, but each and every day of our lives. Let us not forget the need to give up our whole heart, every part of it, to the Lord and to His Lordship, just as Jesus has commanded us today and every other day. Repent and believe. Repent and believe in Jesus, your Lord, your King. I want us to bow our heads. I want to invite you and also those who have joined us from home via live stream to just take a moment of silence right now and to respond to the Lord. A time just between you and the Lord. And today, if you say that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus, you are my King, you are my Lord, then my friends, today is the day for repentance. Today is the day where you once again give your heart to the Lord and let Him be the Lord of your lives. And for some of us, there might be areas that might be part of our heart that we find it so difficult to give it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. The hidden closets in your hearts. Ask the Lord to help you surrender them to the Lord, because He is good. Let us take a moment of silence to respond to the Lord, and then I will close in prayer. Let me close in prayer. Almighty God, whose mercies are new every morning, whose steadfast love extends to the heavens. We come before your throne of grace, and Lord, this morning we ask of you to search us and to know our hearts, to examine us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.